Most of us probably grew up playing hide-and-go-seek. Whether you grew up in the city or out on a farm, wherever it was, there's plenty of stuff to hide in or hide behind, and so that's a game a lot of us played in our youth. Probably a lot of us are growing up playing hide-and-go-seek. We have quite a few kids with us this morning. Beth and I were playing hide-and-go-seek with her nephew and niece not too long ago. And I realized something that you really only realize when you're an adult, which is that kids are terrible at hide-and-go-seek. Maybe when they get a little bit older, they can be really good at it. You know, they're small, they can fit into a lot of spaces you may not think to look, but a 2 or 3 year old, they keep going to the same place every time. They make noise. We kept finding her nephew, Jackson, was just kept going behind the curtains. You can see little feet sticking out behind the curtains. He's giggling back there. It's, I think, come on, you think I can't find you? Try a little bit. You know, you kind of look at the kids and think, what are you doing? This is really how wisdom is depicted in the book of Proverbs. If you think of it as a game of hide-and-go-seek, wisdom is terrible at that game. Wisdom is depicted in metaphorical language, not hidden away, locked in riddle rooms of some kind, but out in the streets, screaming for attention. You turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I want to spend our time this morning really in these first 2 chapters of Proverbs. But we end up finding something that is absolutely vital, necessary to have, but that could not be shown to us any more obviously, could not be put in a more conspicuous place. We could not miss it because it's not at all trying to hide. Those first 7 verses or so of Proverbs chapter 1 really begin to show us how attractive wisdom is and pulls us in because of that. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and correction. Again, this sort of pulls us in by painting wisdom as something attractive. It's to be looked for. It's to be searched for. It's what men want to know. It's what we want to understand, what we want to achieve. But our text, the rest of chapters 1 and 2, show just how easy it is to find. That's really where we begin this morning. Wisdom is freely available. Look at chapter 1, beginning in verse number 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Over in chapter 8, I know we're getting a little bit out of our section, but this metaphor, this symbolic rendering of the concept of wisdom continues throughout a lot of the early chapters of Proverbs. Chapter 8, look in verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. There it is portrayed. You would have to be trying hard to miss Lady Wisdom. She's in the most public place crying out. She takes the high ground there in chapter 8, where the most people will be. Look in chapter 9. She has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. She's even sending out helpers to go and issue the invitation, sending people all throughout the city, all throughout the realm of men, to say, Come and listen. Come and participate in what I have offered to you. Many things in this life, including intellectual pursuits, take a lot of time and effort to master. Think of some of the things you've had to study, maybe in subjects that you hate, especially it seems like growing up. For me, it was math. I didn't want to know anything about math. I didn't like knowing anything about math. I've tried to forget everything that I knew about math. I've succeeded in forgetting everything that I knew about math. But because of that distaste for it, and it just kind of didn't fit that well into my mind, into the way my brain works, think of some of those subjects that you've had to study, and it takes so long because that information just seems so dense, so impenetrable. Maybe it's something different for you. You can look at a history book or grammar book or something and look at it and just stare at the page, read it, feel like you're reading it 10 times over and over, and you just, no, none of that sunk in. None of that made any sense. Professionals in your field, you may wrestle over how to accomplish a certain task. An engineer trying to build a bridge. A person trying to work out the logistics of a certain project, how to make a certain deal work, a certain sale, how you can make all parties satisfied. Whatever it is in your profession that you do, you might have a problem like that that you're just fighting with for days, for weeks, looking at it from every angle, and might end up concluding at the end of things it just isn't possible. Or maybe it's not possible with what we have on hand. How many months now have people been working to develop a vaccine for COVID? And it's not because they're dumb. It's not because they don't know what they're doing. It's just a difficult problem to figure out. And they're working around the clock trying to do that. If you've tried to learn how to play an instrument, you strum that guitar, you make the chords every day and try to learn how to do them in sequence, but it just seems like your hands won't do what you're telling them to do for years and for so long it might take to master that. Other times we just want to know what to do in a situation. The answer seems hidden, and it drives us to despair. We become forlorn just wanting to know, how do I make my kids behave? Right now, before that point for us, Beth and I are, how do I make my kids sleep? We'd be happy with that. I don't care if she's a terror while she's awake. I just want her to sleep when we're trying to go to bed. Or we just ask that question over and over again, why do my husband and I argue so much? Why can't we just have a day of peace? Or the young boy in school, how do I make this girl notice me? I've walked by 20 times in the cafeteria. She's not looking up. What do I have to do? We wrestle with those issues, and sometimes there just doesn't seem to be an answer. True wisdom. Understanding, prudence, knowledge of important things, true wisdom is right here. It calls aloud. There's no excuse for missing it. It wants to be found. It's placing itself in an obvious and conspicuous location. And God will do everything He can to make sure that you can find it if you are looking for it. What does James tell us in James chapter 1 and verse 5? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That's the prayer that he loves to answer. God, give me understanding. Notice as we're talking about this, I don't want to be unclear. I'm not indicating that every answer will be obvious. That every situation that we find ourselves in that does prove to be difficult, what to do when my children misbehave, what to do when I'm having a problem at work, that's all just going to be clear and evident and obvious, and if you don't know, you're a fool. That's not the point at all. But what Solomon is telling us is that a life that follows a general course of wisdom, a life that we could call a prudent life, one of understanding, one of careful thought, one of wisdom, that's easily attainable. God is putting that course in front of us, and He is making it plain. He's making it obvious. The path is well lit. Well, in addition to that, or maybe because of this, attaining wisdom should be for us a priority. Look in chapter 1 where we left off reading a moment ago. I have verse 25 on the screen. Actually, we're going to begin in verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. This is still wisdom, or again, this kind of metaphorical presentation. It's a humanized version of wisdom. Lady Wisdom herself is still speaking in verse 24. Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. When we say that attaining wisdom should be a priority, we mean by this that you should not simply think that you can wait around till the end of your life and then figure wisdom out. That's what we think of, isn't it, when a wise man is someone with a white beard, it's someone with a gray head. You think of wisdom and age almost being synonymous with each other. A wise old man, a wise old woman. But wisdom is not an end-game goal. And it should not be simply the domain of the very aged. In fact, it should be one of the first things that you see necessary to take care of. For one, it may not be possible to acquire wisdom so late in the game, despite its ready availability now. It's there now. It's there as we can lay hold of it. But maybe it won't be later on. They say that wisdom comes through experience, and that's true. But conditioning and training also come through experience as well. Don't condition yourself to foolishness. We would say this especially to our young people this morning. Don't condition yourself to foolishness so that you can no longer recognize wisdom when it presents itself. Instead, begin taking the steps now that allow us to see this is the path I need to follow. That's how we gain useful experience. That's how we condition ourselves to know the right course. But even more so, and really what the passage is talking about here in Proverbs chapter 1, some people attempt to find wisdom only in this situation where they're already paying for their mistakes of folly in the first place. While it may not be too late to find out that you were a fool, it may be too late to do differently right now. You might have ruined your life. You might have made it exponentially more difficult in your current situation through bad decisions. And so wisdom is saying here, sure, many people come looking for me after they've already started to taste the bitter fruit of their ways. Why wait? Why wait until then? Young or old, begin seeking it now. Don't wait. Don't continue on a foolish path any longer than you have to. Start turning aside into the home of wisdom and participate in what she offers. What we began to see there in verse 33 of chapter 1 is that wisdom is a protector for us. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Beginning in verse number 10 of chapter 2, we find Solomon telling us that when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. He goes on in the rest of that passage to talk about all the things that fools can fall into, all of the ways that we can slip, all of the mistakes that we can make, but ends up concluding that wisdom can shelter you from those things. It can keep you off of those dangerous paths. Being a wise person is not a guarantee of a happy, stress-free experience. Not whatsoever. That's simply not how life works. As so many things are beyond our control, we have chosen, those of us who are Christians, who belong to the Lord, we have chosen a God who is largely rejected by our fellow man. And we live in a world that can be hostile to that choice if we have decided to follow Jesus Christ. That's simply the nature of our existence. But as far as your integrity is concerned, as far as your spiritual well-being is concerned, the kinds of things that you may get caught up in yourself, wisdom acts as a shield. It acts as a defender. It's your protector against those things. We read that passage, verses 10 through 22 of Proverbs 2. He mentions several things specifically, and you can find them all throughout the rest of the book as well, of course. The wise man, for instance, knows not to associate too closely with fools. You don't surround yourself with foolish people, lawless and godless people, because when their schemes inevitably blow up in their faces, you may have to pay along with them if you've shared in the lot of fools. The wise man understands the restlessness and the danger of a violent life, that those men who are trying to tempt you to lay in wait so that you can shed innocent blood, that eventually they're going to find themselves running from violence as well when someone is after them. The wise man knows how much words can destroy. He knows how many bridges the wrong word can burn and how deeply we can cut with our tongues. So he thinks carefully before he speaks. He considers what he's going to say. The wise man knows better than to endanger his family with adultery. So he knows better than to even begin walking down the road with a seductive person. He keeps himself. He guards himself. He allows wisdom to be the shield. Verse number 11 there really says it all. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. We're not guaranteed any safety in this life physically. But as far as guarding our soul, walking in safety in that way, you have to have wisdom. If you want that type of security, it will only be found in the wisdom that God provides. And that is really the key to the entire matter. The final thing we observe this morning comes from those first 9 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. Look in verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Knowledge itself as a broad idea is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with knowing things. I'm not an advocate of uneducation, knowing trivia, understanding different things about the world or history or culture or news. Some of that, in fact, is necessary. If we're to carry out godly tasks effectively, there are some things we need to know. There are some intellectual pursuits that we need to engage in. And some of it's simply interesting to us. I like watching Jeopardy as much as the next guy. Beth makes fun of me for doing that. Says that's what old people do. Well, Maybe I'm getting old. I don't care. I like to watch Jeopardy. But there's ultimately only one kind of knowledge that actually matters. Only one that offers anything of real substance or lasting value. And it's not being able to name all the presidents in order. It's not understanding things about the animal kingdom. It's not knowing the batting averages of everybody on the World Series champions for each year. It's not knowing any of those facts, any of that information, any of those things that, while maybe interesting or useful in some situations, don't have any real power. There is ultimately only one kind of knowledge that matters, only one that provides true wealth. And it's described here in Proverbs 2. Wisdom, true wisdom, and knowledge and understanding come from God. And so the opinion of the writers of this wisdom literature in the Scripture constantly return to the same theme, the same bedrock foundation of true understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where you start if you want to know anything. That's the source that you must ultimately go to and drink from. It is the fear of Jehovah. And so that must be our true aim and our true goal. I have known, you have known, I'm sure, in your life, many uneducated men and women. They didn't go beyond seventh grade. They can't tell you deep and interesting facts about the sciences or ancient literature or art or anything like that. But they're among the wisest people that you know. Because they follow God. Because they have appealed to the Lord. They simply sought Him early in their lives. They feared and revered and respected Jehovah. And they've made it their aim to follow Him. And you can see in their lives, no, they only speak one language and that not very well. No, they're not who I would call on if I had to have an emergency appendectomy. No, they're not the person that you want at the sticks if the plane is going down because they know how to do that. They don't know a lot about maybe anything else. But I've been able to see from their life that this is a person of true wisdom. They make the right decisions. They stay out of foolish things. They shed a good example to their family members and the people who know them. You can look at that life of a person and see there's wisdom there. There's understanding about how to truly live because they have gone to where the beginning is, the fear of the Lord. The good news, as we have stated already, is that that is readily available. It could not be more available. We ask this morning, if you have paid attention, if you have heard that cry in the streets, wisdom calling aloud, the invitation song we're going to sing in a moment, Brother Watts, I guess unknowingly, picked this very well. I heard the voice of Jesus say, if we're talking about wisdom calling aloud, isn't that the same thing? The voice of our Master Himself, the words that He spoke, the invitation that He offers. If you respond to that, you're responding to the call of wisdom. If you hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and live," there would be no more wise choice that you could make than to say, "Lord, I will." You can do that this morning. You can begin a life that is dedicated to our God, that is spent in following after Him, seeking after His will and doing it. A life that is lived with security and peace, because we know that His grace has covered our sins. You need this morning to obey our Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized into His death, be raised as He was raised, to newness of life, live with that hope of eternal life with Him. You can begin that life this morning. Come forward if you have need, while we stand and while we sing.